Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Wilmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take it out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Tracked by Anderson, dribbles in, throws out to Draymond. Now pass batted down by Anderson. He stole it from Draymond. A turnover, 12 seconds. Towns for three, got it. Oh, my goodness. And now the Warriors are down by two with 9.9 to go.
Holy crap, what the hell went on at Chase Center last night? What a wild weekend from Friday against the Sixers to last night with Naz Reid, Carl Anthony Towns, and here Tim Roy. We were all thinking the same thing. What is going on? The cat burglar, Katmandu, Carl Anthony Towns pulls up from three. And Minnesota, look, I'm going to be honest with you. They deserve to win that basketball game. They're a more physical team. They dictated tempo. They got a. I like their roster. I really do. I like their roster now a lot more than when they had D'Angelo Russell. But the Warriors lose. Their nine-game home winning streak is snapped, as we say. Good morning to everybody out there. Getting off their graveyard shifts. Getting ready for work. If you're at work, what is happening? All the baby daddies, all the baby mamas, all the strippers who are trying to make a dime on a cold Sunday night. Who else we got? Firefighters, paramedics, ushers, security guards, construction workers. My guy Aaron, who I ran into at Starbucks, is wondering, oh, I can't wait for the roast, man. The roast is a tough one last night. But you know what? I picked up Naz Reid in Daily Fantasy. He got me my money. So shout out to Aaron at the local Starbucks, Spadoni. We got Craig back in the building as Sam Lubman is hungover from his Miami Hurricanes advancing to the Final Four. I thought it was over. They make a rally against the Texas Longhorns. And Miami's going to Houston for the Final Four. No love it. We got Craig back. And you got Joe Shasky. Basketball, what? He's in Giants mode. He's in baseball mode. He's tweeting about Sergio Romo. He's tweeting about Casey Smith. I'm saying, dude, tip-off's coming up. Who the hell cares?
I was ready.
I know you were ready.
I was ready.
I know. I'm kidding.
I was ready.
Good morning, buddy.
Oh, well, I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm just hell of a weekend.
It was. I mean, the star of the weekend was your daughter.
Oh, yes. Trust me. She was ready for that camera. She was ready for that camera. Every single break, I had to give her cue cards to write and stuff. And
it was adorable.
Yeah,
let me speak for America when I say
that.
We have found a new television star. If I was you, I would have her on your lap forever. That is employment protection for the remainder of your life.
Let me tell you,
she
loved the basketball game. She sat there and watched the game. Defense, come on, Warriors.
That's awesome.
She's doing a dance cam, and apparently on the way home, I got her out of there about right 3 minutes before the post game show. I was like, you guys need to get out of here.
That was smart.
Right now. Yeah. And on the way home, Anna was telling me.
Was that when the Warriors had the lead?
That's when they had the lead. Anna left and they were up. She was like, oh, we thought they won. And I saw on Twitter that they lost. So then Baby Chaz in the car is like, I have fun. Mama, you have fun at basketball game?
She's
loving it. So she's going to want to go to games all the time. Well, it was a hell of a day.
I had so much fun until the final 2 minutes, too.
so did I.
I
thought we was going to come in here and have a great weekend, talk about a 10-game home winning streak, the Warriors catching their stride, but another speed bump, which we really shouldn't be surprised because it's been a season full of speed bumps.
I mean, look, there's no way to, like, put this out there other than it was a horrible loss.
Yeah.
Right? Now, the optimism that I feel this morning is more looking at the standings and saying to myself, well, and I be this might be too cynical. Tell me if I'm wrong here. Maybe they're not good enough to be able to even pull this off.
Yeah.
Do I even really want to be the 5 seed?
You don't want to play Phoenix, right?
That's kind of what I'm trying to do. Like, I'm trying to thread this needle here, and yeah, it feels sadistic.
You. No, I'm with you, man. I said it Friday night after the show.
It's not the worst. Like, it was a bad loss. But is it really the worst for the overall end game?
I don't want to deal with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker in the first round.
Kind of where I'm at. Yeah. But now let's get down to the final minute of the game. Okay, so Jordan Poole hits a monster three in the corner as Klay Thompson takes a beautiful dribble drive. Mm-hmm. It looks like he's going to go for the layup, and then he kind of circles underneath the hoop, kicks it out to JP in the corner. He hits a magical shot.
Oh, I mean, it was a tough quarter three.
I mean, that looked like a horse shot, meaning like I dare you to hit this as you're falling down, right?
And he's capable of doing it.
He had a really good game up until that point. And then there's like about 50 seconds left. Steph Curry's on the side. Yep. Warriors got the ball. I believe Klay got a rebound, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. They're coming down, and it's like a Kevon Looney JP two-man game, and I'm thinking to myself, all right, guys, I don't care what's on the clock in terms of two for ones and three for twos and all that. Let's get a good shot here. Work some clock and let's get. That's just me. Okay, I'm not Steve Kerr, but I'm a casual or diehard Warrior fan, casual X and O's guy, and I'm saying to myself, I'd like to see a couple guys touch the ball. I'd like to see Steph Curry touch the ball. I'd like to see maybe Klay Thompson on the same side of the ball to create some stress and force a defense to make decisions. Right.
Right.
Let's get a good shot, and they settle for a step back Jordan Poole 35, heat check. 30, I mean, it felt 45 foot deep.
Yeah, it was a deep three. It wasn't the best shot, even though he's capable of making those shots. He's capable.
Yeah, but not in that situation.
But closing in that situation, and there's some things I want to touch on, too, with the return of Gary Payton II. It was good to see him.
He got
the standing ovation. Great vibes, but there's ramifications for other players with GP2 being back. Something we'll touch on. And Dante DiVincenzo. We're going to discuss that in a second. But the pool three, just, all right, I get it. You're cooking. You're hot. You can get a better shot. Earlier in the quarter, I thought he did a great job of passing up the three.
Agreed.
And then pulling up from the mid-range game and sinking it.
He had a couple nice ones.
Nice mid-range game.
Yeah, I agree.
Hit the mid-range jumper instead. He tried to end the game right there. Not a good shot. Not a good shot.
There's just no defense for it. And if I'm in Jordan Poole's camp, and then like I'm saying to myself, like, I get it. You got to kind of live and obviously die with some of his decisions late in the stretch. Mm-hmm. I would just say to Jordan, like, I would sit down as a team and make sure that they watch those final sequences and say, guys, what are we doing here? And it's not just him, because other guys made bad decisions on the next possession. They come down, they hit a three, all right? And then they've got the ball, and it feels like, I think it's 26, 27 seconds
26 left. 26 seconds left. Okay. 24 seconds left. By the way, Draymond did have a good foul on Rudy Gobert. He makes 1-2.
That's what it was. He kind of like grabbed him underneath the hoop.
Yeah, exactly.
You're right. So they get the ball back, and to me, it felt like if I'm the Timberwolves, now maybe I'm wrong here. I'd love to hear what they said in the postgame. I'm going to aggressively try to steal the ball, and if not, I'm going to go for the foul. That's what it felt like they were trying to do to me. And in those situations, and I said this to Joe, it's the same thing that last week. They're up 8 in Wednesday's game. They're up 8 seconds to go, excuse me. They're up 3, and the team's got the ball on the sidelines. I have the greatest free throw shooter of all time. Right. My all-time setting, when I have Steph Curry on my team, late game situations, turn it into a free throw game.
Right.
Give the ball to him, and Steph, I know you want to be a team guy. Hang on to the ball, doggy. Right. Well, you're the greatest free throw shooter ever.
But here's the deal. And I'm a little disappointed in the team. The situation was the T-Wolves had a foul to give.
Yes.
They had a foul to give. So Draymond Green could have held the basketball.
And pivot.
He could have just held.
Worst case, if you're triple teamed, I'll call timeout. Right. We'll get the ball inside.
Exactly. But you have a time. They had a foul to give. So Draymond Green, even if he holds the ball, he's not going to the free throw line. They had a foul to give. So hold on to the ball. Steph Curry's relocating. It felt like Draymond panicked a bit.
I agree.
Passes it to Stephen Curry in slow-mo, who had 5 steals yesterday. And Kyle Anderson, look, he almost screwed the T-Wolves out the game in the second quarter. He just was, I mean, his IQ sometimes, it boggles my mind. I'm, Jesus Christ, he drives Chris Finch crazy.
Us.
He drives any NBA fan. But you know what? He comes up with a steal, his fifth steal, and Carl Anthony Towns, he hit a big three earlier in that fourth quarter, pulls up and says, you know what? I'm pulling up.
And
And 1, 2, 3, he sinks it.
Yeah, he banged that.
He banged it.
And you could see the frustration on Klay Thompson's face and his body language after he hit that. It was one of those situations where a team with that much championship pedigree, yeah, that many playoff moments, right, for Steph Curry and Klay and Draymond Green and Jordan Poole, for all four of them, it's not one guy. To me, it's all four of those guys. To have that sequence of possessions, I mean, come on, guys.
That was bad. And look, come I on. Get it. For them passing up, like, they sagged back off of Carl Anthony Towns on that three-point shot because nobody's thinking he's going to pull up from three.
No.
But he's they draw up plays for him to catch and shoot threes. He's a dominant player. Just go look at the basketball card of Carl Anthony Towns. He's a double-double machine. He's healthier now. He missed 51 games, and they didn't have game since Wednesday.
Ponte, they hadn't had their full team since November 29th.
I know.
And when you look I at heard that roster, I was like, wow.
And you look at that roster with Mike Conley Jr. now to settle them down. He got hot.
Some big threes.
He only scored the first quarter, but it was all four threes in the first quarter alone. And he didn't score the rest of the game, but he set the tone.
Yeah.
Naz Reid
is a baller.
Naz Reid is just
how
unbelievable.
How can the Warriors get him?
I don't know. I want to get him.
I
know you are, and I am too. I want Naz Reid.
I do too.
I want Naz Reid so damn bad he can hit the three, goes inside, he rebounds, whatever. Then we get to the last possession, Chasky.
Oh my God.
The last possession of the game. And the spacing was just horrible. The spacing was horrible, and just Steve Kerr does a great job of drawing up plays, and you know you expect the veteran team that's won championships to come up with the better play.
Are you talking about the inbound play where they threw the kind of like?
No. I'm talking about the Jordan Poole turnover.
The
Jordan Poole turnover.
The final inbound with 2 seconds left.
It's a desperation play. It's Steph Curry still got a shot off a hit rim,
which is incredible.
Yeah, I thought we were going to overtime for a second.
I think everyone did,
but. Jordan Poole throws it out of bounds, and I'm not playing the blame game this morning. Look.
Well, a lot of people are saying Steph needs to cut and this and the other. And
look, Steph. Just a Chris Mullin made a great point last night on the Post Game Show. Steph Curry moves sometimes, and he cuts, and he fakes out his own teammates at times.
It happens a lot.
It still happens to Draymond Green. They played together for over a decade.
Agreed.
So,
and Draymond, we all agree, has one of the higher IQs
in
the league.
No doubt. But the Warriors did not display good high IQ late in the fourth quarter.
It was the late game execution.
And Jordan Poole's looking for Stephen Curry. And look, I think he was looking for a move, trying to get to the basket. Conley Jr. played great defense on him.
Yeah, he did.
That was great individual defense.
He did.
Throws the ball out of bounds. Basically game over.
It was so frustrating.
I mean, it's a game they had in their pocket. You can look at the Utah game in Salt Lake City when they threw it away and lost at the buzzer. You look at that game last night. And if you don't finish in the top six, because now you're tied with Minnesota in the loss column at 37. The Pelicans are coming to town on Tuesday. You're tied with them in the loss column. And the Lakers, despite blowing a game yesterday against the Chicago Bulls, and Pat Bev was telling everybody that you're too small to guard me, including LeBron James, they're not one game behind you, and you don't have the tiebreaker against the LA Lakers. The margin of error, Shasky, with these six games remaining, you can see yourself in the play-in tournament. So, you know what? I don't want to play the Minnesota T-Wolves in a play-in game.
No.
I don't want to play the Lakers in a play-in game.
Well, and they need the rest.
They need the rest.
Here's, look, this is going to be the unpopular thing to do this morning, but I'm going to do it. Everyone's going to want to crush Jordan Poole. Let me defend Jordan Poole. This is a guy who doesn't get a lot of opportunities to close games anymore. And so you put him out there in these situations, and I think it's easy for a lot of people to say, and look, he took a bad shot. I'm not here to defend it. He threw the ball out of bounds. And whether it's him, Steph Curry not cutting properly, you know, them being on the same page, whatever it is. He's not out there a lot in these closing minutes. And so he's trying to earn the trust of Steve Kerr, and he just did a little too much.
I thought Draymond Green did not have a great fourth quarter.
He's
been playing some really good basketball. But your veterans, if you want to point to the
clunky game.
Klay got ice cold. He was 1-7 in the second half.
It felt like 1-7. Like, on Klay, can we stop for just 1 second? It does feel like when he's not hitting, he almost feels auto-shot.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to shoot myself back into the game.
And that's not good. He's got to get some easier jumps. Yeah. He's got to get to the basket. But they have a lot of Rudy Gobert. It's the best I've seen him play against the Golden State Warriors in a very long time.
He looked fantastic. How many elbows did he throw in this game?
I mean, he was looking for Draymond Green.
Yeah.
Little slight shove under the basket.
Falling on his back.
Yeah,
a little slight shove
that was dirty.
Yeah,
it was a little dirty.
But like the one where he crashed into Draymond and then elbowed him in the face.
Right.
Dray landed so hard on his back, I was worried about that back fusion.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Whatever the hell he had last year.
Look, Dray's had a phenomenal season, in my opinion. He's played really good basketball.
No doubt.
He's been aggressive.
But those are the kind of injuries that creep up in the playoffs.
Not only the injuries, veterans, but it's the kind of turnovers that could knock you out of the top six. And that's on your veterans. That's on your Hall of Fame players. That's on your statue guys. And we've seen that too many times this year with the veterans. So I don't want to crush Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole's here to slander. I know we're getting him blamed for all the slander for somehow, some way.
For what?
Well, we've been pro-young guys.
We have...
defended all the youngsters.
Defended, well, specifically Jordan Poole.
Yeah, no
I feel
doubt.
Like we've defended him more than any other show out there.
Because not only that, we understand that Jordan Poole has had a difficult time.
He's a lightning rod for criticism. I think he's the easiest to criticize.
But it's not fair.
I agree.
Because he's played with all types of different combinations. And you heard him Friday saying, I got to play with some of the guys, Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson, who create gravity and give me the spacing that I need to cook people one-on-one, which is why you see the 19 points in the fourth quarter against Philadelphia on Friday. We've talked about him as a starter, as a bench player, dealing with everything in training camp. Jordan Poole, we haven't crushed him. For some reason, became the poster child of the Jordan Poole slander.
That's not fair.
Yeah, no, it's not fair at all. So,
but
you know what? That's just Twitter. Again, Twitter's 10% of everything,
if not 5%.
And it's a lot of idiots on Twitter. So if one thing snowballs, everybody wants to jump on the train. They're bandwagon jumpers. And a lot of these people on Twitter, all they do is sit in their room and play with each other. They haven't seen the light of day. They don't have any girlfriends. They're losers. So I don't care about them. You can blame us all you want to. Thanks for listening, buddy. But that's on the veterans. to me, that was on the veterans yesterday. They did not set the tone. Curry did not look like he had any type of rhythm yesterday because he picked up two quick fouls, 3 minutes and 54 seconds into the basketball game, and that took him out of his rhythm.
Curry and Klay, I thought, were very clunky yesterday, and I just thought that the turnovers as a whole for the team, specifically the top dogs, crushed them. I mean, it absolutely crushed them. And to me, it's the situational rebounding. It's the situational execution on offense. The situational turnovers. Those are the most frustrating. Yep. When Klay Thompson there was one layup. We didn't even talk about this. Curry had a breakaway layup, and it felt like if they slow it down a little, they get a better shot. Yep. And he went flying in for a contested layup, and look at Steph Curry. He's one of the greatest all time. But he missed the layup. Yep. It was a big-time possession. He had a Klay. William was a two-on-one, essentially, that he turned into a one-on-one, and they come away empty.
Yeah.
And it's those types of possessions. You can't come away empty.
No, you can't come away empty. Now, real quick, GP2, because we definitely have to get this in for the opening seven. By the way, we got a jam-packed show. I'll tell you about it in a second. Gary Payton II, we can see he's a great defender, and he fits the Warriors perfectly. 94 feet. You know, he's picking up guys full court. He can hit the corner threes, finishing around the basket. You can see his impact on this basketball team.
He made a really nice pass to Kevon Looney.
He did. But they did not get bigger. And size matters in today's NBA.
Especially against that team.
against Phoenix, against Denver.
Size matters.
The Clippers. I mean, they need some size. So GP2 is definitely impactful. But how is it going to affect the rest of the roster? And I'm looking at two guys.
I know who you're going to.
Dante DiVincenzo, who only attempted at one field goal yesterday. Friday night, he played 11 seconds in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and he's one of your smartest players. Wouldn't you agree?
It looks like he may be the odd man out.
Nah, I don't know if I love that.
Jonathan Kuminga, who played 14 minutes and 45 seconds left.
See, I think...
I mean, 14 minutes and 45 seconds last night.
Let's take a step back for a second. I want to ask you about GP2 and DiVincenzo. Don't you think DiVincenzo can do more for this team than GP2 in terms of offensively, and it's not just one, it's both, offensively and defensively? And don't you think more lineups can use him as a glue piece in that lineup as opposed to GP2? Because there was a sequence yesterday, Kevon, Draymond, and GP2 out there, and they just had no offensive threats.
Yeah,
and it was Klay and Curry, and it felt clunky to me.
And the spacing.
That's what I mean. Spacing. Like, guys were sagging off of the non-shooters, and it just felt like Curry and Klay didn't have any room to go.
No, he didn't. And look,
I like GP2, but I think we kind of overrated some of the things he brings to the table.
No doubt, but he fits on this team,
and
the veterans like him whatnot. But you see DiVincenzo in the month of March, and I see one field goal attempt yesterday in 20 minutes.
That's not good.
No, three rebounds, three fouls, two assists, a non-factor.
Especially when he's one of the smartest players on the team, and he hustles like crazy and gets you a lot of second-chance opportunities.
And he doesn't play much in the fourth quarter against the Philadelphia 76ers on Friday. Now the confidence is starting to creep in his head. You look at it. The month of March has not been pretty for him offensively. Offensively, he's shooting just 30.8% from the three-point line. Offensively, he's shooting just 34.5% from the field in the month of March, and that's 14 games and 14 starts.
Is this a way for them to give him a healthy scratch?
You can't give him a healthy scratch because you need bodies.
I know, but I'm saying,
you need to transition him off out of the starting lineup and have him come back in. You brought him in to be a bench piece.
Yes.
To be a great bench piece. It's time to get him back on the bench.
Well, I wanted this is the other guy I wanted. I want to see Kuminga start yesterday. See, like, Kuminga, because you could throw him on Anthony Edwards, and to me, that's the kind of matchup that I feel like Kuminga thrives in, right? Yep. Another young player that he's obviously, you know, looking to, right, that he wants to slow down, and Edwards is so dynamic. Yep. It keeps Clay out of foul trouble. It keeps some of your other guys out of foul trouble. You notice foul trouble was a problem early.
But see, I just think DiVincenzo has lost a little bit of confidence, and he knows GP2 is back, and that's going to affect him. And you heard Steve Kerr Saturday said, we got to figure out the minutes for GP2, but it will affect a lot of players on his team. And then at least to Jonathan Kuminga. I thought he changed the game in the second quarter.
Yes.
Naz Reid had no answer for him.
He had a layup. Okay, we don't talk about layups. He had one where went crashing into three guys. They went flying back, and he hits a sick layup. And I'm saying to myself, there's only a handful of guys that can make those bodies go bare and Naz Reid go flying back.
That was our Alaska Airlines high-flying highlight of the day. Jonathan Kuminga with the layup.
I didn't know that.
There you go. Alaska Airlines, what's up, man? I could use for...
Double A's?
First class. Coach.
Where are you flying to?
I don't know. Fly anywhere.
Some flying to New York to go watch the Yankees?
Ooh, that new shortstop.
Volpe?
Everybody else brings up their prospects.
Don't even
say. Look, we're going to get to the calls.
Can I be honest with you for a second?
Greg and Jimmy on the other side. We'll get to you.
Halfway through your postgame show, you know what I fired up?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What?
61 on HBO?
Of course you did. Of course you did. By the way.
It's actually pretty damn good.
No, 61 is great.
It's pretty damn good.
Yeah, Billy Crystal, right?
No, I don't. He might have been the producer. I don't know if he was in it. It was Roger Maris versus Mickey
Mantle.
That's
old. That's like 20 years old.
It is 2001. Right. Yeah. But it was fantastic.
No, it's a great movie.
There's a lot of who's in there.
It's a great movie. This segment was presented by Go to State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit Go to State Lumber. Oh. Shout out to all the Twitch and YouTube users. Hold on. We'll do that on the other side. Other side. Comcast Business Text Line. Not a Comcast Business Text Line. Shout out to you guys this morning. Greg and Jimmy, we'll get to you on the other side. We got some special shout outs because my man came through. I'm going to tell you about somebody coming through on a Friday night at Chase Center. Boy, it was a wild weekend at Chase, man. I need to get away from that place. It is a who's who. All right, Fleming at 8 o'clock for the first time all season. We're going to talk to Dave Fleming. He's joining us at 8 o'clock. And you know who's joining us at 7?
Who?
The newest member of the San Francisco 49ers, Javon Hargrave. Javon Hargrave, the grave digger, is joining the roast at 7 o'clock.
Not the road truck, monster truck grave digger?
No. This is a big boy, number 97.
Such a great nickname.
This is a big boy. He's going to join us at 7 o'clock to talk about what he's going to bring to the table for the 49ers. We'll get to know Javon Hargrave.
I can't wait.
We'll introduce him to the roasters here on 95.7 The Game. That'll be brought to you by nobody.
Screens for Thompson, it curls to the left wing, nobody's open, Poole comes and gets the ball. Poole dribbles, he wants to go, stops on Conley, dribbles it, and throws the ball out of bounds. He slipped and throws it out of bounds. Curry was cutting around him, and that's going to send a lot of people heading for the exits and a frustrating night.
It's JP with the Golden State Warriors. Now back to the morning roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky.
What up, JP? Thanks for being one of our P1s on the roast. 27 points last night. He's played some good basketball. How many turnovers? That's 6 turnovers in 4 games. Not bad for JP. And no, that loss isn't on Jordan Poole. Anybody who says that is a basketball idiot. Jordan Poole gave you juice. Jordan Poole's getting to the free throw line. Jordan Poole's playing some high-level basketball. Sure, it was a quick shot on the 2-for-1. But I look at some of the other veterans. Steph Curry didn't have a good game. 8-23. Klay Thompson went ice cold in the second half. He was 1-7 in the second half. Draymond Green, 5 turnovers. You can't blame that on JP.
You've heard this from me before. The philosophy of a 2-for-1, it drives me crazy. Yeah. It's only a good 2-for-1 scenario when you take a good shot.
Yep.
You might as well turn it over when you take reckless shots. And it's not just JP. This is the Warriors as a whole. You've been watching this team for a decade. Very few times in the 2-for-1 scenario on the front end do they take a good shot.
Right.
And that really drives me crazy. I wish that on a team that doesn't value the basketball as well as they should, those are the kind of what I call hidden turnovers that are just as bad as the throwaway into the first stance.
It is. No doubt. Now, I like it. Nick Duke, and of course it's all on JP. Stop it, Bonte. No, that's not fair.
Well, Draymond had turnovers.
And that's the slander he was talking about Friday on the postgame show. I hear all the slander. We're so easy. We're so scared to blame anybody else if it doesn't, you know, it's okay to say Steph Curry had a bad game. It's okay to say Steph Curry made a bad decision. It's okay to say Draymond Green made a bad decision. We're so quick to do it with Klay Thompson. Yeah, why not the other two?
Klay had a bad game.
It
wasn't his best. And I thought Curry had a bad game. He was in foul trouble. He never really could get rhythm. And, you know, passing the ball to Draymond in that situation, I mean, just hold on to the ball. They're coming to foul you.
And they have a foul to give. Just hold it. Let's go to Greg and San Ramon. Then we'll get to Jimmy in Washington, D.C. Greg, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing this morning?
Good, man. We're doing all right.
I have a box here I'm about to open.
Good. Shout out to my big brother, Duke, from the city.
Oh, nice.
Man, just wanted to give that shout out.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, we love Duke.
But anyway, I agree with what you guys are saying, and it's not on JV. I mean, Steph had a terrible game, man.
Yeah.
Terrible game. And I feel like, you know, Steph and Klay are kind of cold, that's when you can get Jonathan Kuminga getting a little, you know, going to the basket a little bit more and getting more minutes. I thought them cutting his minutes out to get
to get GP2 in there?
Yeah.
You know, GP2 in there. Yeah. It was kind of, you know, I took away from it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Also, I'm a little superstitious as well, as you guys are, I'm sure.
I'm with them on that. And the thing that, look, let's take a step back. When you add in another guy, now I know Draymond said he's a 6'2 lob threat.
Right.
I understand that. But at the end of the day, he's still only 6'2.
Yep.
Right? And I think that when you look at connecting different lineups together and the versatility, part of what makes Jonathan Kuminga such a unique weapon is that he has a physicality that is desperately needed on this roster.
Right.
When you look at the lone big that they have outside of Draymond, it's Kevon Looney. Physicality is not one of his top attributes, even though he can play physical.
No, he can.
And he's not an athlete to where Jonathan Kuminga is. Kuminga provides so much defensive perimeter defense, but I think offensively, he gives you a guy that could slash and dunk and finish in the lane. And I think it makes things a lot easier. Also, you know, lost in the sauce, he's actually shooting the three very well since January 1st.
I mean, he's shooting
like
over,
very well.
I mean, you just look at the last six games entering last night, he's shooting 50% from the three-point line. He's playing his best basketball.
And shooting and so, good shots.
Good, no, very good shots. Very smart decisions.
High IQ.
I just don't, again, the usage, and this falls on Steve Kerr. Because Steve Kerr says something center, it's like, you know, I'm trying to figure out if we could play him at the three. I know he could play the power forward position. Well, this is why he should have played him earlier this season.
I know.
It's game 75. We're still trying to figure out where to play Jonathan Kuminga. That falls on Steve Kerr.
I'm with you.
That's a problem to me. 14 minutes and 45 seconds he played last night. 2 of 4, 5 points, 2 fouls, 2 steals. I mean, 14 minutes and 45 seconds.
It's not enough.
He should be playing 25 minutes a game, but the GP2 factor, something we talked about when he got traded here, that it's going to affect Kuminga, and that's also affecting Dante DiVincenzo. Let's get to Jimmy in D.C. real quick. Jimmy, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Hey there. What's up, y'all? Good morning. Thanks for getting me on.
Anytime.
Excellent. Okay. So I know the Warriors have their problems. You always point them out. Their turnovers, some execution. The lineups, which in Kerr we will trust. We don't question Steve Kerr on his lineups throughout the season. He's won half the NBA championships he's been able to coach for, so we gonna give him that. But the thing that I want to talk about that I think people are overlooking a lot is that the Warriors are actually looking really good. Even at 500, even with these bad losses, because the thing is, and you can't say it's about 29 teams, but the Warriors can actually shoot the ball. So even if everything else goes the same, but Steph and Klay make those open or even contested looks that we see them make 9 out of 10 games out of the year, we're fine. You can't say that about the 29 other teams in the league. So I think once we get to the playoffs, if we turn on that selective defense and decide to stick the corners, I'm not worried about it.
Yep. No doubt. All right. You're positive. You're positive about it.
I just think it was something that I noticed. Like, clearly the top dogs wanted GP2 back.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I think it gets very difficult. When you've won as much as those guys have,
yep.
I understand, and Bob Myers has spoke to this, like, on some level, there's a partnership with these guys. But you also have to put together the most competitive roster that makes the most sense, and at times that's going to be at odds with what these guys want in terms of the vibes. And I look at bringing back GP2, you know, although they might all love it and they might all be happy, there is a trickle-down effect, and one of the consequences is now one of the strongest players of this year's team, Dante DiVincenzo, feels weakened in terms of his position on the team and his importance. Then Jonathan Kuminga, one of the assets that's been ascending within this season, and you're hoping to build for moving forward, he has a diminished role.
Yep.
I don't know, man.
It's
not. I'm not saying the move was bad.
It's something to monitor moving forward.
Yes.
And here's the deal. The Pelicans are coming in Tuesday night. Brandon Ingram. Jonathan Kuminga had Brandon Ingram and Alcatraz last time out.
Yes.
I will be very eager to see how Steve Kerr deploys Kuminga for Brandon Ingram and the Pelicans. They have some shooters in Trey Murphy III.
Yeah.
Herb Jones, a good player. Of course, CJ McCollum. So let's take him to school real quick before we get to the break. All right, taking him to school, sponsored by nobody, Gary Payton II, in his return. He hadn't played since February 8th. Ironically, he gets to go to St. Warriors when he was a member of the Portland Trail Blazers, his final game with the Blazers. Here's GP2 with a nice little play.
48-36, ball to Payton. He beats Minnesota down the floor and scores over Anderson with a little jump hook. And Gary Payton II with his first bucket since coming back for his first game as a Warrior this year.
Tim Roy on the call. Gary Payton II three of four at 15 minutes and 29 seconds. Look, 9 points. He hit a three, grabbed a couple rebounds, had a nice block shot late in the game. GP2 making his return. He got a standing ovation from the Chase Center faithful. And that was a lot of fun. But let's
break. What'd you have? A Truly?
Yeah, no, I didn't. I don't drink Truly's, GP2. I drink Jameson.
Can you get him another beer?
Oh.
Robin in the
we
city.
We know all about your Jameson commercial.
Robin in the city, you're coming up on the other side.
You're going to talk about go nowhere. I have a commercial that popped on my Instagram feed that you have to hear. It'll be the funniest thing you've heard all week.
Also, shout out to our man Chris. So pull up those Jordans real quick before we break.
Oh, my God. Look, I mean,
pull up those Jordans. They haven't even been released yet.
Oh, my God.
Haven't been released yet. My man, Chris Martin.
Oh, my God.
Look from 1985 Gallery, 451 Westlake Shopping Center, Daly City. Came by the gatehouse on Friday, said, I have something for you and Chasky. What size does he wear? And he came through with the drip with his lovely wife, Bridget. They came by the gatehouse for the pre and post game show. Chris Martin, my man, co-owner of 1985 Gallery, located at 451 Westlake Shopping Center, Daly City, California.
I'm going to come see him today.
Yes, we have ourselves a new shoe store.
That's where I go get my coffee.
There you go.
Every day.
Shout out to Chris.
He's open.
He said, I couldn't leave Chasky hanging. However, he's driving me crazy with this baseball stuff. He's driving me insane.
That's why, you know what I did this morning so that I get rid of the baseball takes? I put it on my YouTube page. I'm dead serious. I have three big questions for the San Francisco Giants, but that's neither here nor there. Go nowhere. There's an Instagram ad that features our man Bonte. That's the funniest thing you've ever heard.
And Robin in the city, you're coming up. We're going to get to you, sweetie. And Javon Hargrave, the newest member of the Niners, joining the Roast at 7 o'clock. Who's the voice of the Niners? You know who the voice of the Niners is. It's your boys on the Morning Roast here on 95.7 The Game. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, Full Service Banking, no compromises.
This is Gary Payton II, and you are listening to the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game.
Yes, sir. Segment sponsored by Go to State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. Javon Hargrave, 7 o'clock. Grave Digger. What's up?
What was the song? Yes, sir. No. Yes, sir. What was that? Was that Jim Jones?
I don't remember that one.
Yes, sir. You don't remember that?
I don't remember that.
God, I'm trying to think of the rap song. I think it's Jim Jones. You guys don't know who Jim Jones is?
Yeah, I don't remember that. I know Jim Jones is. I don't remember the song. Hey, let's get to Robin real quick. Let's get to our auntie on the morning roast. Robin, what is happening this morning?
Hey, your baby girl. She's cute as a button, sweetie. Good morning, Chasky.
Good morning.
So listen, Chasky, I want to tell you something, sweetie. I know you like, I can't say his name, and I really don't like to be rude when I can't pronounce people's name. Dante DiVincenzo, or whatever his name is.
DiVincenzo.
Whatever his name is. And like I tell my kids, when I call Shantae Otis, and she say, Mom, I'm not Otis. And I say, but I'm looking at you, okay? So that's how I feel about Dante DiVincenzo. Look, he's not playing well. That's just the bottom line. So he's been starting, and he's not playing well. Gary Payton Jr. is going to start. GP2, he's going to start. That's just the bottom line. And, you know, until they figure out, you know, and I agree with everything you guys had to say about the spacing and all that, but he's a better defender than that boy. And I think it's going to get better in terms of that. I don't think the Warriors are a very good team. And it's something that we need to look at. The core, that was tired yesterday. You could see it. They're tired, okay? And then in terms of Poole earned his right to be on the floor because of the Philly game, okay? So here's the deal. They didn't seem to be executing. Like when Kuminga was in there, Kuminga played within the context of the game, okay? And they were trusting him to cut and roll. Same thing with Poole. Now, you said that Curry should have the ball in his hands because he's the best shooter. But yesterday, he was not the best. He was not the most efficient. He was not productive. And what they should have done was been executing and feeding like they did in the Philly game to Jordan Poole, okay? That's just the bottom line. The starters, I usually don't blame, but they blew that game.
No, I agree with that.
And they were tired.
I agree with that. But I agree with that, Robin. But here's what I would say regarding Steph Curry struggling throughout the majority of the game. Same thing happened on the Saturday night game against the Bucks. He wasn't great. And then the final couple minutes, he was outstanding.
Yep.
Right? So I understand that, like, you know, there's this earned equity and whatnot. We're talking about free throw situations late in the game. I don't care if Curry's 0 for 1,000.
Right.
Right? He's the greatest free throw shooter of all time.
And he's the greatest shooter of all time.
Right? You know, so, like, I understand that there's, you know, form. Are you in form in a particular game? Still, in certain situations, I'm not even saying he needs to shoot it. I would like to have the ball in his hand a little, you know, just work it to him. And yes, Jordan Poole played amazing on Friday night, and he hit a huge shot before that final sequence. It's not just JP's fault or just Steph Curry.
No, it's a team-wide breakdown. It's a team-wide breakdown with the turnovers and everything. Here's what Steve Curry had to say about the final 2 minutes of the game last night.
We didn't execute. Thought we had a chance at a layup in transition with about 2 minutes left. I think we had another possession where we turned it over. We just didn't execute down the stretch. So that was just one of many. We didn't deserve to win. They outplayed us, made the plays down the stretch that they needed to make, and we didn't. So simple as that.
And then Kerron DiVincenzo's performance.
Every game is going to be a little different, and Dante's doing a really good job of defending and moving the ball and just playing his game. There's going to be some games where he gets 8 or 10 threes up and other games. He obviously played fewer minutes tonight, played 20 minutes, but Gary's return, that cut into Dante's minutes, cut into JK's minutes, and so that's how it's going to be here. We got to figure out rotations and find combinations that fit.
Yes, he will be affected by it, as well as Jonathan Kuminga. Here is Stephen Curry about the final possession. I love to hear from Steph. Here's what he had to say.
It was more a feeling of get to space, run clock down, because I knew they only had 3 fouls, so there was going to have to be 2 separate fouls to get to a free throw. At first, it felt like they were trying to take a foul. I got 2 people that kind of swiped at me, and they didn't call anything, so then I changed sides of the court, and I thought it was a little early to shoot, just because you make or miss, you give them another possession, so I kicked it to Draymond. Obviously, I'm sure we could just hold it at that point, maybe, but everything up until that point was just trying to run the clock off, run time off the clock, and force them to either make a decision where they really wanted to foul or not, but we lost it.
And Stephen Curry explained it after.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.